Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
May the hammer of Moradin come down on our foe.
Next scene, get behind cover.
I know what I'm doing, boy.
That's right, you bugbear bastards. Get ready for a bit of your medicine.
Eat that shame, Cerberus.
This is such a great club.
You hear Kieran scream.
Jack looks him dead in the eyes and says no.
Not today, Dungeon Bay.
I'm hit and down.
Dorian falls unconscious.
No!
Now I'm awake.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is episode 16, Shoot Square.
MVP this week goes to Stephen Gene Mills, who gave us a glowing review on Podchaser, joined the Facebook group, and said that Red was his favorite character.
Back at ya, buddy!
Thank you so much to everyone who's been positively reviewing our podcast. We are so pleased with the reception.
How many people go down in this episode again? Jack, Kraloth, Dorne. Everyone dies, right?
Everyone dies.
CPK?
Yeah, this is a total party wipe.
Ah, we don't go down that easy. Let's get to it.
Okay, guys, you've had a week to think about this invasion, the attack on Golden Fields. Have you had any thoughts / brainwaves?
Yes, we're going to die.
Yeah, it's not great. Not a good situation.
You're quaking in your boots?
I'm quaking in something. Wait, is quaking taking a number two?
Yes. I'm ready for action.
Yeah, Doran is ready for action. He's salivating over the dead corpses of all these creatures we've killed.
Should we place bets on who's going to die this episode?
Yes, the enemies.
That's right.
Definitely some hobgoblins are going to die.
Definitely.
Hobgoblins?
We haven't seen a single.
Bugbears.
Bugbears. Oh, that's sure.
Bugbears.
I keep on saying
bugbears.
Bugaboos.
Bugbears.
Yeah.
A little stroller for a baby.
Those goblins really bug me.
Yeah, me too. And the bugbears really...
Goblin me.
Do you guys want to talk at all out of game about any of the resources that you have going into the second half of this combat?
I would love to, Joe.
Why don't we?
Let's do it. Okay, Jack. I would like to know what spell slots. How many spell slots, Jack?
I've used all my third level spell slots. Got three second levels and three first levels left.
Cool.
What do you have, Justin? What's Kraloth got going on?
So I've got my domain stuff. I've got my Eyes to the Grave thing. So if we need to do double damage to something, that's still available.
Amazing.
But then spells. So for healing, I'm really thinking I should just save all of these spells for healing, at least for now, and let you take, because it sounds like you still have a lot of the damage stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. What I've prepared is more control-y stuff, actually. So we'll see whether or not that's needed. But
Red and Doran can handle dealing damage. If I can just focus on healing, I've got one level 3 spell left.
That's
and two level 2 spells left and two level 1 spells left. So 5 spells total.
Hey, Doran, how many axes you got going?
I've only got the one axe.
But I do have...
Is it reusable?
It is. It's a reusable axe.
Oh, good.
I've been using it the whole time.
Environmentally friendly.
At will.
And my axe is very intricately smithed. No, but I have 3 health potions, a heroism potion, which we found.
That was
in the
Morak Urge's.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Yeah, you took that from him.
Stolen from a friend.
He gave him the armor back.
Just like the best things are.
We've also got this bag of magic dust.
When we get desperate, we will throw magic dust. We don't know what it does at them.
Huzzah!
Or snort it. I mean,
hopefully
take a bump and be like, dust. Fuck it, let's do this.
This magic dust makes me fly.
Doran, you're just high, man.
No, for real. My feet are not on the ground.
I've also got a healer's kit and some chicken and saffron.
Oh, chicken and saffron. Let's write that down. Yeah.
And I have 3 spells left. 2 second spell slots, one which includes silence to get some of those somatic verbal components mm-hmm. out of the way if a mm-hmm. caster comes on the field, uh-huh. and one first level spell. Probably will be used for Hunter's Mark.
You have Cure Wounds as a first level spell, right?
I do.
Yeah, so if you don't feel like you want to cast silence or pass without trace, you can still use those second level spell slots as resources.
Perfect. Beyond that, I have the Bag of Holding, Piece of Cloud, and a hair from Zephyros' head.
Oh, yeah. It's a beard hair, isn't it?
Or a beard hair. Well, it's still from his head.
Cloud giant beard hair.
Yeah, I forgot about those. I'm ready to fight.
I'm ready to fight.
I'm ready to fight, too.
Maybe they'll be friendly giants.
You stand in the middle of a half-harvested wheat field in the pre-dawn darkness. The moon casts scant light down on you, and mist swirls around the bodies of the goblins, bugbears, and ogres you've just slain. You're a motley crew of defenders. We have Doran, Miros, Jack, Z, Kraloth, Nexine, Red, Lifferless, and 2 awakened trees. Through the grove, back toward the middle of the village, you hear the abbey begin to ring its bell, and the abbot's voice rises above it all. To arms! To arms! Attackers in the town square!
More? We just killed almost an entire army.
Several scores, I believe.
Doran, do you have any of those health potions left?
I've got a few. Here, you take one. And I pass one to Red.
Honestly, maybe I should just take 2, because if one of you goes down, I can zip zap zabooey over to you and pour it down your gullet.
Sure. I'll keep one for myself then.
Not a bad idea.
So I'll take 2 health potions from the lovable dwarf.
Here you go, Lightfoot.
What? What?
Well, you're light on your feet. I'm just saying. You run it around, you're the Lightfoot.
That is not an okay term where I'm from.
This is actually a very respectful term in the ranks of dwarven armies.
How's everybody doing health-wise? I'm hit. I'm down to 28 hit points.
I'm also hit. I'm down to 29.
I've got 29 hit points. Same with Kraloth.
Rolling the 28, 29 arrow. What about you, wizard?
I got all 38.
Oh, nice.
So you're going to be tanking.
Oh,
right?
How nice.
Nope. Hiding at the back.
Also, it's important to remember that I have inspiration. Does anyone else have inspiration?
I also have inspiration.
I have inspiration as well.
I think everyone actually.
Everyone does.
But I don't have a starburst.
This is a fully loaded inspiration party.
All right.
How's everybody feeling?
Motivated to kill. I suppose we should head over to that abbot.
Hold on. Does anybody need a heal right now?
No. I can push on.
I can too.
Let's go.
And Kelimvor guide us.
Come on, Lifferless! And Red, smacks the trunk of Lifferless, and he's like, right.
Oh, yeah, you're riding
and he,
in the tree.
He turns around and starts heading towards the ringing bell of the abbot.
So you head back down the road toward the center of Golden Fields in this darkness. Dark shapes move here and there between the long houses of Golden Fields. You see candles and lanterns appear in some windows. The abbey's bell has roused some villagers out of their beds. You can hear heavy footsteps, but their source isn't immediately visible. The chatter of goblins echoes out from behind some tables in the center of town. Your campfire from earlier in the night is a pile of smoking embers.
Doran yells out to anybody listening,
"Pick up your arms! We've got enemies at our gates!"
So we have monsters in the town square. We've got a set of tables from the High Harvestide celebrations that were left out. There's still the remnants of the feast on them from villagers who were too tired to finish cleaning up before they went to bed. Behind those tables, a number of shadowy figures hunch and chatter in fear. These are goblins. There are a couple of other larger shapes roaming around the town square. They look to be similar to the bugbears that you had been fighting earlier. And you hear the heavy, ominous footsteps of ogres. Why don't you roll for initiative?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Rob, what does Jack and Z have for initiative?
So Jack, Kieran, and Z got a 17.
What has been Kieran doing this whole time?
Keeping an eye out for invisible shit.
Good for them.
Alex, what about Doran and Miros?
11 for Doran and 11 for Miros, because they're the same.
Harlan, what did Red and Leafless get?
12.
Justin, Kraloth, and Naxine.
They got an 8.
So it's the goblins' turns. There are approximately 10 of them hiding behind these dining tables.
Ooh.
5 goblins stand up from behind these tables and draw back their short bows. They fire at Doran.
Doran stands strong.
Does a 22 hit you?
Lifts his shield, but a little too high, and a 22 hits me.
And a 21 also hits you?
Yep.
So 3 of these hit, and one of them is a crit.
Oh,
oh my God.
No.
3 of 5. 10 piercing damage from the one arrow as it penetrates your chest. There's a weak spot in your armor. Wow. I'm rolling rocks to start out with, guys. That's 6 more damage from a second arrow, and the final arrow hits you for 7 damage.
23 points of damage.
The other 2 arrows from the goblins just bounce off your armor as you are pretty severely injured. The next 5 goblins fire at Naxine.
Kraloth would be in front of Naxine.
Sure.
It's something that's been established. So
it is something that's been established. Yeah. 21 hits for sure, but yes. I believe a 13 does not hit.
No, it
so
does not.
So 1 of 5 arrows find their way to you, Kraloth. And you take 7 points of piercing damage as you are jabbed by this arrowhead.
Now I'm awake.
They're going to take the hide action now as a bonus action because that's how goblins do their shit.
Hiding.
About 5 of them successfully hide. You can see 5 of them still standing up behind their light cover, but 5 of the goblins disappear into the mist.
Are any of them moving, or are they all just hiding where they are?
They're all just hiding where they are.
Okay.
Jack and Z, it's your turn.
So I think the first thing that I would like Kieran to do is just go fly up a little bit, see if you can sniff out, get any sense of who's hiding where, what's going on, anything they can report back from 100 feet in the air above me, just to see if they can figure out where those shapes behind that we heard but couldn't see were or something.
Whatever you say, boss. Kieran takes to the air and they circle around these long houses. In the dim moonlight, they can see there are 2 ogres, one to the left of your party, one to the right of your party, coming around the side of these long houses. They are equipped with very terrifying great clubs.
There are ogres on either side of these buildings, so don't run in and get flanked by them. Jack sort of shouts to everybody.
Doran responds.
With 3 hit points.
Bruh.
6.
Jack runs to the side, gets a little bit of cover on the side of one of these log houses, and conjures a flaming sphere out in the battlefield near the picnic tables that were there that are providing these goblins cover, giving them something to hide, sort of figuring, let's light it up. They can't stay too close to a bonfire. And once the fireball lands and starts lighting up the tables around it, Jack wills it forward, just sort of in running along the table runners, catching them on fire until it runs into a creature. If it does run into a creature.
Certainly does.
Oh, interesting. Even if they're hiding, it'll stop. And that creature could make me a lovely dexterity saving throw. And you're looking for a 15.
That's a 9.
That's not going to do it. So that guy can take 8 fire damage.
He dead.
Nice.
Poof.
Yeah, you barbecue a goblin.
And Doran licks his lips.
The scent wafts towards Doran appealingly.
I think I look towards Doran and just like shiver, trying to pretend I don't see the look on his face. Like, we just had a really big meal. I used to think it was just Doran being like living on trail rations out in there, but he might actually eat goblin, and I'm not sure I'm okay with that. So I'm just going to take a little cover against the wall. Can Z see
the bugbears?
Yeah.
Yes, she can.
Perfect. She will move towards the other wall and throw a stone with her sling at the closer one and maybe then take cover. How do we feel about a 10?
For the bugbears?
Yeah.
That does not hit.
Then that stone goes, as stones do, clattering to the ground.
Red and Lifreless.
Oh, right. Is there... You know what? Red will shout out to everyone and take cover next to the buildings! Because I think the buildings would provide arrow cover from everything that's attacking to us right now. They're sort of on either side of us. Can I see a bugbear from where I'm standing?
You can, yeah. There's a slight... The moon is covered in some cloud, but even the people who don't have dark vision can see fairly well.
Wonderful. So because the bugbear has yet to attack, I will have advantage on it because of my primeval awareness. And I will also cast Hunter's Mark.
Do it.
17.
17 hits.
12. 12 damage to the bugbear.
Palpable hit. Are you attacking again?
I will be attacking again. And this time I will be doing it with the sharpshooter perk. So this will be at a negative 5 to hit.
In fact, Doran yells up to you in the tree and says, palpable!
Thank you, buddy! 17.
Mm-hmm.
8 and 8, 16, minus 1, 15. 30 damage.
Is that it?
Palpable.
Yeah, the arrow sings straight through his jugular. And he hits the ground in a shower of blood.
And I say, that's right, you bugbear bastards! Get ready for a bit of your medicine! Lifreless is still pretty far from the action. He's going to move up next to the house to make sure he's sort of out of bow fire. Beyond that, I don't think... I want to lure the enemies to us rather than us move out into the open. And this is something that I would sort of, again, reiterate to everybody. Let's use this to our advantage. We're in a good position right now. We have cover from two buildings. The trees, however, are a bit more expendable. But you know what? I think they're going to hug the corners of the two buildings.
Aww.
And they're going to prepare an action.
You've heard of tree huggers? Hug.
Tree huggers.
And they're going to ready an action so that the first enemy that rounds those corners, they will take an attack.
Perfect. Yeah. If they come within melee range of those awakened trees, the trees will attack.
Exactly.
Okay. Doran and Miros.
So Miros is going to attack first, and he pulls out his heavy crossbow.
Take one of my shots.
It's like I'm working at the bar, at the tavern.
Shots, shots.
This one is called Miros' crossbow shot.
He's not throwing away his shot.
Dude, it's a 9.
Any of them in cover?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't hit the goblin.
Miros has been pretty shitty at fighting.
He is throwing away his shot.
He's more of a melee fighter, but he doesn't have enough HP to be a tank. So
yeah, he doesn't really get up close anywhere.
So there are two buildings here through which our adventuring party has come into the square. And now seeing all the combatants, it seems like the PCs and our NPCs are sort of choosing a building to the left or to the right and sort of huddling there in the shadow of these buildings for cover. Doran, what do you do?
Okay, so first attack. I'm going to attack this goblin with my crossbow. So I pull my crossbow.
Roll to hit.
And I miss with a 7.
Yeah, you missed.
14.
Ooh, that just misses. The bolt sings by the goblin's head.
Then I'm also just going to take a bonus action, which I have here, which is my second wind, regain HP. So I'm adding 1d10 to my level. Oh. One.
No.
1 plus 5, so 6 hit points.
That's not nothing.
It's not terrible.
No. So just, I'm going to move over beside Jack.
To the northern building or to the southern building?
We'll say the southern.
Okay, that's the one with Jack and Lifreless and Red and one of the awakened trees.
Yeah, put me there.
Right against the wall.
Great. The bugbear that is farthest away from you uses his turn to dash forward. So this hulking figure just starts running across the square.
That'd be so scary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not okay.
I'm picturing these guys with like massive, like World of Warcraft muscles.
And we almost just might see like the light on his armor from this bonfire.
Yeah, he's like in a silhouette.
These are not creatures that you've ever dealt with before tonight, but they are goblinoid, but they look like they're on steroids.
I'm picturing like Uruk-hai. Yeah,
yes.
The big.
So they are muscular. They are well armored.
And very smart.
They're intelligent, and they have some serious heavy weaponry. The other two close in on you and then heft javelins. both of them attack the awakened tree that is protecting Miros, the one on the north side. So we have Z and Miros cowering behind this tree.
Tactically.
A 16 and a 10.
So the 10 misses, 16 hits. However, are javelins piercing?
Yes.
They have resistance to piercing.
10 piercing damage, so that's 5.
Okay.
Amazing. Okay, so Kraloth and Naxine, it's your turn.
Kraloth hunkers down and says, Naxine, get behind cover. And Naxine responds, I know what I'm doing, boy. She steps out from behind Kraloth, and she's going to cast Firebolt on this bugbear that's very conspicuously standing in the middle of the square.
Yeah, he's just finished loosing a javelin at this awakened tree.
Exactly. And as he turns his head slowly, he sees this firebolt shooting from her hands right towards him. And she has to make a ranged spell attack. Ugh. It's a 3.
Oh, no.
And the firebolt sails over the bugbear's head, and he turns back and looks kind of confused.
No.
Pats himself. He's completely fine. And she curses and begins walking away. And Kraloth, you were saying? And Kraloth is going to cast Cure Wounds on Doran.
Oh.
He's going to put a hand on your shoulder and say, stay on your feet, brother.
Oh, my bones. Thank you so much.
They're so broken.
What? I've got this arrow in my chest right now.
So 12 points, you're going to heal.
Tasty.
Back up to 24 hit points.
Nice.
And that's that.
Whoa.
All right, boys. Two ogres lumber from around the sides of these houses. They both pull out javelins and aim them at the creatures that are least protected by the awakened trees. That would be Miros and Kraloth.
No, no!
I'm going to give you guys each half cov. So that's a +2 to your AC.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes. Okay, so Miros, that is 23 to hit.
Yeah, you hit.
And an even 20 for Kraloth.
Ty goes to the attacker?
Yeah, it does. Ty goes to the person rolling the dice, whether that's the attacker or the defender.
Yes. Okay. Quick, Jason, roll a dice.
All right, so 2 hits with these big, bad ogre javelins. Miros takes 8 piercing damage. Kraloth takes minimum damage.
Oh, good.
6.
The javelin goes into Miros' thigh, and you see him clasp his leg, and he is in severe pain. His teeth are grinning, and there's blood coming out of his gums.
Does he have gingivitis?
This is so painful.
All right, top of the round, we've got goblin time. They all just start, all of the goblins pick themselves up from where they're hiding in the fog behind these tables, emboldened by the approach of the ogres, and they just start running at you across the darkened square. Jack and Z, how do you respond?
The first thing Jack does is call that flaming sphere from around this table that he set on fire 30 feet towards that last goblin there and run right into him.
Kaboom. I'm going to make a dex save.
Yes, please.
That is an 8.
An 8 is not going to do it. So how does he feel about 9 fire damage?
He is roasted. You Perfect. Kill him. He's dead.
More roasted goblin. We're loving it. Seeing an awful lot of goblins rushing towards us, Z is going to aim at one square in the head with her sling and fire. Gets a natural 20.
Oh!
Oh.
Well done.
Dun, 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 dun. Y'all ready for this?
And 6 damage to that one as this rock hits it square in the head.
That's the saddest crit I've ever seen.
Hey, 2d4 is not nothing. Are any of the bugbears hurt or everybody else is laughing?
One of the bugbears is injured, yes.
Yeah. Bleedy Bugbear in the middle there. I'm going to...
It's my favorite band.
Right, Bleedy Bugbear. Well, their greatest hit, Toll the Dead, is about to come on. Mm. And Jack is going to start calling this bugbear's soul out of his body, ringing the bell that says, just go right to the grave.
So spooky.
Yeah, so give me that saving throw.
I rolled an 8.
How do you feel about 15 necrotic damage?
Yeah, he dead.
Yeah.
He shrivels up as if being consumed by like high pressure or gravity from the inside.
I love this like mist of his soul leaving his body and just the flesh necrotizing around the openings where it's leaving, and he's just a slump, crumbled mess in the middle.
All right, Red, Lifilus, what do you do?
I'm going to start with the trees, the ancient trees. And starting with the one in the south, he's going to step forward and he's going to attack that ogre. Ooh, and the 10 is going to miss.
Yeah.
And second attack, 14.
Yeah, you hit.
Good.
Nice.
Oh, that
9
sucks.
Damage.
Ooh.
And you know what? The other tree to the north will attack the two goblins in front of him. Oh, 19 to hit. That's perfect. Ooh-ah.
Yes,
so
sir.
So the first goblin will take... So 11 damage to the first goblin.
He dead.
And the second goblin, 18 hit.
Yes, sir. You're squishing these guys like black flies.
We'll take 10 damage.
He's also dead.
And both the trees sort of did half their movement. So this the north one will move back to provide cover to Miros and Z.
Smart.
Lifrilis, I think, unfortunately, will stay here right now, too. I just think it doesn't make sense right now for him to move in. And Red will spend his bonus action to move Hunter's Mark onto the ogre in front of the tree. And despite him being in cover because he's in front of the tree, I ignore it as my sharpshooter perk.
That's correct, Harlan.
Amazing. So I'm going to...
Amazing.
I am going to use my sharpshooter perk. It happens regardless if I use it, but I will use it on him plus my Hunter's Mark. So let's see what happens.
Do you want inspiration?
Ooh.
No, thank you, though. I think I feel good about this.
Chesta.
10 to hit.
No, sir. You miss.
Bummer. All right. I will attack again without my sharpshooter perk.
Do you want inspiration on this one? You want
to
hit on this one?
Fine. If you want to give it to me, I'll take inspiration.
Yeah.
All right. Red,
you have your own inspiration.
Whoa. I'm going to use my inspiration for when I level up so I can roll more hit points, frankly. Okay, I'll use my own.
Well, it's potential. It's potential.
Everyone has inspiration right now, and you're taking Rob's inspiration.
He offered it. Do you not want to offer this? Because I do have my own.
I don't roll a ton of dice.
You should use your inspiration,
okay, you know what?
Rob.
I'm going to take Rob's inspiration. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that so much. And I'm going to... Then I'm going to do sharpshooter again, and I'm going to roll with advantage.
All right.
Okay.
No.
Oh, no.
3 and a 4.
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Rob, nonetheless. Red misses. Fuck. And I will, just stay
at least
cowering behind the branches.
At least let Rob eat the starburst. You want the starburst?
No, I'm okay. It's all yours. Eat that shame starburst.
Doran and Miros.
Miros is going to go first because he's a lame-o.
Aww.
Well, as far as battle goes, I mean, the guy's a tavern owner.
He did just take a spear to the leg. He is kind of lame.
How many hit points does he have?
So, I'm going to take a group poll here.
Okay.
Does Miros, with his one hit point, go running into battle?
No.
Back right out?
He backs out.
Hands for running into battle. Everybody thinks I should run into battle.
No, what would he do? Okay. What would Miros do?
He would basically go down in a blaze of fury.
Yeah, well, his family's dead. His family's been killed. Like,
that's right.
He doesn't.
Oh,
have
you're
anything.
Asking what would Miros?
What
do?
Would Miros do?
Let's
like,
get
what
in
is
the
his?
Mindset
yeah,
here.
What's his character?
True. But think
his
of Rilix. You've got Rilix to look after. Rilix. You need to keep a home for
it's
this
true.
Poor Tressum.
And you know what? People do rely on the tavern. It's like
he's very proud of this North Furrow's End. Did you know North Furrow Road is like the road that leads up to Golden Fields? So his tavern is named as like this is the end of the line.
He's standing there with his club in his hand, his big crossbow, and flashes go through his mind of, you know, visitors coming into the tavern, having heart to hearts, him, you know, having deep conversations and inspiring people. Some people drinking their sorrows away. And he realizes that he plays a big part, not just in this battle, but also in the life here at Golden Fields. And he's going to attack with his crossbow and then disengage from the battle and hide up against the side of the building. So that's a 14 plus 2 to hit the ogre.
Yeah, you hit.
All nice. Right. Plus a 1d10, not adding anything.
Okay.
3
points. 3 damage.
Damage.
It's not nothing.
I hit somebody, finally. I have to cover.
And he kind of squirms back and...
Put pressure on the wound, Miros!
Oh, that's right, yeah.
What does Doran do?
Doran does something entirely different altogether. Doran, after feeling so much more enthralled after being healed, he picks up his axe. He kind of bounces it in his one hand while holding into the hilt.
Hefts it.
Yeah, that's right, hefts. And he... comes running around the living tree and attacks the ogre. And he takes...
This dwarf, like, stands as tall as the ogre's thigh.
Yeah. Not even.
This isn't the first time you've gone toe-to-toe with an ogre.
But it'll be the last.
So he's just... He's going to make a serious attack here. And you know what? I am going to use inspiration.
Yeah.
And I'm going to attack 17.
How much damage do you deal?
8 damage.
Good. Good stuff.
On attack number 1. Attack number 2. So I've got 2 attacks. Is a 9 to hit.
No.
Here we go.
That's the end of my turn. Thank you.
One of the bugbears is attracted by all of the movement as Doran runs forward and slices into the ogre. He runs over to Doran and tries to hit him. 18 to hit.
Oh, he hits by a hair on my chinny chin chin.
That's 15 piercing damage.
Jesus.
Maybe you didn't need to roll up a 6-level character after all.
Yeah.
And the other bugbear rushes forward, sees Jack cowering strategically behind the awakened tree and pulls a javelin off of his back to hit him. Launches it into the night sky. Oh, I have to roll with disadvantage because of the range. He's still a little bit too far away.
Excellent.
17 to hit.
So it would hit, but Jack sees this bugbear coming, looks him dead in the eyes, and says no, and holds up his hand, and the shield of magical force surrounds Jack, and it stops the javelin dead as his AC jumps from 15 to 20 until the start of his next round.
Not today, Dungeon Bay. Kraloth and Naxine, you see Doran take this huge hit from the bugbear, and he's also being surrounded. There's an ogre in front of him and a goblin sneaking up from the side.
And he looks majestic. He's like, ting!
Taking damage here. It's mostly just javelins going through his chest majestically.
But he's smiling.
Yeah.
There's so much blood in his beard.
Kraloth shakes his head and says, Gullimvor, guide my hand. And he's going to move up behind the tree. And as a bonus action, he's going to cast Shield of Faith on Doran, which gives Doran a +2 to AC.
Nicely done.
Doran, what's your hit points looking like?
My hit points are at 9.
Okay.
You cannot cast another spell as your action, unless it's a cantrip.
Beautiful. This is very, very helpful for me. So thank you. And then in that case, I'm going to cast Sacred Flame, and I'm going to cast it on... How's the ogre looking?
He's not bloodied yet, and the other one has not been injured.
Who is looking the weakest right now?
So currently we have one ogre who's been hurt, 6 goblins total, one of whom is very badly injured,
and
2 bugbears, both of them are shiny.
I have made my decision. I'm going to do it on the ogre, the one that's been damaged.
Okay.
So he's got to make a dexterity save as I move my hands around and try to...
Not the most dexterous creatures. That's a 6.
It's going to take a ray of light from the heavens. It shoots from my holy symbol.
Okay.
It goes around the tree and smites this.
It's like that Madonna song.
Coming like a ray of light.
How much damage does he take?
So 11 points of damage.
Ooh, that's good.
That was decent.
Okay, what does Naxine do?
Naxine is going to move forward.
She sees Miros, like, taking cover because he's almost dead. She sees Doran severely injured.
So then I'm going to cast Lightning Bolt.
Oh.
And I'm going to cast it this way.
Yeah, so using that angle, you can definitely hit both of the bugbears, the ogre, and that one goblin in the very back.
Both bugbears, the ogre, and the one goblin in the back.
That's right. Beautiful. And it's going to sizzle right by Doran. I'm going to have to make a series of dex saves. So here I go on the bugbears. The closest bugbear to Naxine succeeds on the dex save. Then the farther bugbear fails, the ogre fails, and the goblin saves.
Okay, so 2 of them hit. That's not bad. They're going to take 8 d6 damage.
That's fun to roll all those dice. Ooh.
Oh, that's a good looking roll.
So 6, 12, 17, 21, 31 points of damage.
Wow.
I don't know if it's plus anything.
Nope.
31 points of total damage.
Naxine aims her hand down this line of 4 bad guys. The first bugbear sort of dodges out of the way, but still takes some serious damage. The second bugbear is totally evaporated.
All right.
He was standing right in front of Doran, and that bugbear just, like, disappears.
Yeah.
You just, burst of flame.
Your beard starts to singe.
The ogre that is menacing Doran, who he was chopping down like a tree, comically goes, like, you know how you can see their bones, and then you don't see their bones, and then you see their bones, and then you don't see their bones, yeah, and they're being electrocuted? That until he's dead.
Home Alone 2 style.
Yeah. And then the goblin in the back, obviously, is just, like, incinerated. So that's three bad guys dead.
Nice. Good round.
Good job, Naxine.
Did you move that goblin already?
I did.
Or was it this one?
No. So her plan originally was to do that and then Misty step back, but she's already cast.
That's
so she
right.
cannot do that.
The uninjured ogre lumbers forward toward this spellcaster who just pulverized his companions, and he's going to attack her with his great club.
This is such a great club.
She readjusts her half-moon spectacles as she looks up at this hulking beast.
22 to hit.
Oh, that's a hit.
And he deals 14 bludgeoning damage.
She is knocked into the ground and just manages to push herself back up with half of her glasses broken.
Oh, wow. No. Next scene.
And Kraloff shouts, next scene!
Mom! I mean, next scene! It's like when you and call actually, the teacher.
Yeah, and Doreen.
Freudian slip.
Doreen. Doreen. And Doran turns and like I think there's sort of a similar exclamation from Doran.
What does it sound like, Doran?
He says,
"Oh, Maxine,
Naxine.
Your name's not even right.
Naxine.
What the fuck's your name again?
It's Naxine with an N.
N A X Naxine.
I thought it was Maxine this whole time.
No. Three goblins rush up to Doran.
Oh, and welcome.
Try to slice at him with their scimitars. That's 2 21s and a 17.
Damn.
That's 6 and 7 slashing damage. So 11 total.
I'm hit and down.
No!
Doran falls unconscious. The other two goblins continue to rush forward into the space between these two buildings. And each of those goblins are going to fire arrows at Naxine from their short bows.
I'm
the
not
other
surprised.
Two.
I'm not surprised. No.
That's a 12 and a 14.
The 12 misses. And because this is a new round, when the other one fires as well, Naxine just manages. She's still recovering from the big ogre hit. She manages to get her shield up just in time.
Nice.
And the arrow clatters against a invisible force field.
Love it. Jack and Z.
All right, so the first thing Jack does is bring that flaming sphere, come crashing into a goblin, who I'd love to make a dexterity save looking for.
12.
Well, that's not going to do it. So he can cook. It's actually only 3 damage, so.
Let's say maybe that's the one that Z clonked.
Sure.
Good idea.
Okay. Actually, I think it was.
I think it was, too, actually.
Nice.
It's dead. It had a concussion, and then it
Beautiful.
Died.
Wow.
4 goblins, 1 ogre, and 1 bugbear remain.
Yeah, Z is looking at that ogre, real menacing-like.
Okay.
Jack looks over, seeing that ogre smash into Naxine, not loving that. Kieran, try and distract it. See if you can get Z a shot. And brings Kieran in to try and help Z get a real good shot at this ogre, hoping to use the help action, get some advantage going.
You certainly can, yeah. So you use your Tressim familiar as a distracting force on the battlefield.
Yeah. Not super helpful. How do we feel about an 11? 13.
That hits.
Oh, sweet. That'll be 6 damage. Then seeing that wound connect on the ogre and seeing this like hole in its life force open up, Jack's going to reach out to it and start saying the words and trying to pull the life out of that ogre as well, tolling the dead, hoping that he's going to fail this save that is a wisdom save.
15.
15 is my number, so sadly he does. Kieran's going to try and fly out of the ogre's space.
Okay, so it's going to take an attack of opportunity against you?
Yeah, but that means they won't have a reaction left to try and hit Naxine.
Wee-hoo!
Oh, drawing out the reactions.
That's smart.
That is really smart.
I didn't even think about that. So you only get one attack of opportunity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless otherwise stated.
That only ever comes from somebody who's very experienced.
Yeah.
23 to hit?
Definitely hits my poor Tressim.
11.
In that moment, right before Kieran would suffer, as the weapon connects. But before we see any gruesome splatter of my poor kitty
you
against the
Kieran
wall.
You hear Kieran scream.
And then disappear.
Red, and Lifferless.
All right. The southern tree is going to go first. There are two goblins hovering over my unconscious friend Doran. He's going to attack one of them first, the one closest, with a 18.
Yeah.
And he is going to do 6, 7, 8, 9 damage.
Murdered.
And he's going to attack the one farther with a 17 plus 6. And he is going to do 8, 9, 10, 11 damage.
Also murder.
And that tree is going to move towards the other goblins. The other tree is going to attack the bugbear.
So this is the tree that's sort of behind Naxine.
To the north, mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to attack the bugbear in front of him. I believe he can with the reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to have to avoid Naxine, so I'm giving partial cove.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah, he moves over, actually.
Yeah, just take a sidestep.
He takes a step forward. Right. And he's going to hit with a 16.
Yep.
And that's going to be 13 damage.
Dead.
And then he is going to attack one of the goblins.
Cleaning up the battlefield here.
A. With a 18.
That hits.
And he's going to do 15 damage.
Dead. Outrageous.
Then Red is going to scale down from the tree.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Using his feline agility. He's going to move across the map towards Doran.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast Cure Wounds at a second level.
Wow.
Look at this turn.
Good round.
Holy moly.
And I'm going to roll 2d8 plus my modifier, which is 3, I believe, for my wisdom. No, 2. Sorry. 16 hit points back to Doran.
16 hit points?
Yeah.
And so, I'm alive?
Yeah.
So I was just like, whoop. And yeah. It's like,
you're
and
still
I'm like,
on the ground.
Come on, buddy.
You're still prone.
Your eyes flutter open and you see Red above you.
And I grin. Red, by golly, I owe you a shave.
What is with this shaving?
16 hit points?
Yeah. And I only get an extra attack when I attack, so I did not. So That'll be that. And then Lifilus will move over, and he is in range of only the goblin, correct?
Yes.
Then what happens?
Attack. He will attack with a 20.
Yep.
15 damage.
Okay, he's more than double killed.
So there is only the ogre left on the map.
There is just an ogre. All
we went
by
from,
him.
What, 5 goblins, a bugbear, and Doran down to Doran up, map cleared, save wow. The ogre.
You know what?
That's insane. Good move. Good turn.
Doran opens his eyes and he nods like Robert Redford. And that
it's your turn, Doran. Then what do you do?
Doran stands up.
That's half your movement.
Thanks.
Red, through like tears, is like, of course, buddy. I couldn't do it without you.
I'll shoot my crossbow because what the hell? Sure. I might as well make 2 attacks with the crossbow.
Do it.
16 to hit the ogre?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Doing 7 points of damage.
Absolutely. Okay.
And then a second attack. 10 with a 10.
No, that misses. Miros?
Oh, Miros.
Nope. Miros is just...
He's like a Pokemon. He just says his own name all the time. Kraloth and Naxine, what do you do now?
So Naxine, looking up and seeing this ogre swatting at Kieran, mm-hmm. She is going to take the opportunity to step back out of his range. Yes.
And he is distracted. He does not swing at you. And I feel like as Kieran dies by the club of this ogre, she recognizes like, oh, that wizard sacrificed his familiar for me.
Yes, definitely. There's respect there. So she's going to cast Firebolt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she misses. She's not good with that spell. She curses again and then walks back behind cover.
Fiddle faddle.
Kraloth, top.
Yeah. Okay, so Kraloth is going to move away from cover. He's going to see that Doran is not doing very well, but with the distance between them, he's not going to spend one of his spells, and he's going to cast a cantrip to take down that ogre.
All right.
Sacred Flame, he's got to do a dexterity check.
I will try my very ogre best. The 14?
I think that's okay.
Yeah, so he saves.
Blast.
The ogre takes 2 big strides toward the awakened tree that's right beside him on the south side of this set of houses. And as you look up, you see like all of the villagers in these long houses are looking out their windows at you. You've like accumulated quite the audience. The ogre smashes at this tree with his great club. That's 12 to hit.
It misses.
Yeah. So that's the ogre's turn. The goblins are all dead.
I suck so hard. I missed a tree.
Jack and Z.
So Z is going to line up her sling and take another shot at this ogre. And a 10's probably going to miss.
That's right.
And Jack is going to move to get it sort of lock eyes with this ogre and try again to say those words to necrotize his flesh and free that soul.
That's a 2.
That'll fail. So how do we feel about 10 necrotic damage?
Nicely done.
He's like, that scab on my leg is infecting really quickly.
It's no good.
He's looking kind of bloody now. Red and Liphilis and the awakened trees. It's your turn.
The awakened trees will attack the ogre till it's dead. Let's start with the one with the north.
Mm-hmm.
It will hit with a 16.
Yes.
Sorry, a 15.
Yes, it will.
And that is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 damage.
Nice.
And the second one, it'll attack again mm-hmm. with a 19.
Yep.
And it will do 12 plus 16 damage.
Okay.
The one to the south of it will attack with a 8.
No, that misses.
And it will attack again with a 12.
Yep, that hits.
For 16 damage.
Yeah, these heavy limbs of the awakened trees just mash and pulverize the huge body of the ogre, and they just turn him into an absolute bloody pulp.
Amazing.
Good
job.
Still
alive?
Good job. Wow.
Oh, no, he's dead.
All right.
So, you guys have vanquished this third set of combatants. What do you do now?
Are we still in initiative order?
No.
I would love to run around and pick up the javelins.
4 of them are in very good condition still.
Perfect.
Some of them were splintered by hitting armor, etc. But yeah, you can recoup 4 javelins.
You know what? I'll just give all 4 to Doran, I think.
Kraloth is going to, while Red is running around and looting bodies, he's going to step into the center and say, everyone who needs healing, gather around.
We'll take 10 minutes, I suppose, to do that.
Yep.
Miros, Red, Doran, Naxine, Z, and the tree will all get around because the tree took a -5 hit.
Do we have time to just take a short rest?
I wish we could know who else needed help.
Well, let's find out. And I'm going to climb Liferless, and I'm going to do a perception check.
Okay.
No. However, Liferless also has the ability to sort of, as you said, sense what's on the ground. Can he feel anything?
Sure.
While he's doing this, Kraloth throws his shield and his weapon to the ground. He kneels with his holy symbol, and he begins casting Prayer of Healing.
Thanks. Kraloth gives you all this Prayer of Healing, you have 10 minutes to sort of swap around your belongings, do some looting, and perceive that more danger is going down. After the 10 minutes, Kraloth, how much healing does everyone receive?
10 plus 3.
Nice.
So we all get 13 hit points back.
Anyone else want to do anything while this is happening?
Since the Prayer of Healing is anybody in sight and we're spending 10 minutes, I'm just going to loot everyone around here anyway because I just have to stay in sight of Kraloth.
Well, it's 30 feet. It's within 30
feet. Yeah, I mean, you know, let me know when there's 9 minutes left or a minute left. I'll run back. But I mean, they're all pretty much close
by.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Okay, let me tell you just really quickly about the loot and then we'll talk about what Liferless perceives.
Perfect.
You find that each of the bugbears has a pouch that contains gemstones. You find obsidian, malachite, blue quartz, azurite, lots of different kinds of gems, all different colors. The first one has 4 gems, then 2 gems, then 4 gems, and 1 gem. Overall, each gem is worth 10 gold. So you get 110 gold total from these 4 bugbears that you loot.
Perfect.
The goblins have various worthless belongings. You see a necklace made of woven dwarf beards that I'm not sure if you're terribly excited to share with Doran.
I take it secretly.
Yeah. There's a bowl made of a human skull, that sort of stuff.
That sounds cool.
Some like pretty grisly.
I think Red would be fascinated, not just as Red, but like as a tabaxi in general, by these weird trinkets. And he mm-hmm. would definitely put them in his bag of holding.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a dwarven like beard necklace.
Yeah.
And a half skull cup.
Yep.
Liferless
stretches his roots down deep into the soil as he watches Kraloth perform his ritual. And after a few minutes, he says,
there are more creatures here. Big ones.
Where are they coming from?
Back towards the wall.
And he extends one large branch pointing to the southeast.
Bigger than the ogres?
It's hard to tell from over here. Yes. And I hear screams on the wind.
Let's go kill some, probably giants, frankly.
Want to do anything else?
I'm going to doff my studded leather and don my scale. because that's better AC and I don't need to sneak right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand my studded leather armor to Miros after I take it off and don my scale mail. I'm like, it's battle time. Need the help. And I hand the studded leather temporarily to Miros and say, maybe you could use this, friend.
So just a little aside here, the idea of people like doffing armor and swapping it around mid-combat especially usually doesn't work very well. I think in my head, armor is something that people have kind of personalized based on their body type. You know, you have kind of a tailor fitted approach to it because this clothing has to fit you so well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But we already established in universe that Red and Miros are basically the same size because Red wore a suit of Miros's during High Harvest Tide Festival.
Bingo, yeah, yeah. Bingo.
So I think it totally makes sense that you would be able to give him some of your old
in
armor
fact,
to wear.
That's so, so smart. In fact, Red would like play it up and be like, you lent me your suit. Now let me lend you mine. And yeah. I'd like let him borrow my studded leather
that's
armor.
That's awesome.
That's so fucking cool. So his AC goes up to 12. The javelins I've collected I give to Doran to sort of give him a better ranged weapon.
And then Doran, in turn, gave two of his to Miros. Perfect. So I've got two javelins.
Miros so Miros is a little bit more beefy and a little bit more useful in combat.
And he's also healed because of
Kraloth's
yes. healing, which was 13.
Because of the prayer of healing.
So he's back up to 14 hit points, I guess?
And during that, while Kraloth is putting his holy symbol away and dusting off and everybody's healed, Naxine's going to walk up to Jack. And she's going to put a hand on his shoulder, and she's going to say, I thank you for your sacrifice of your familiar. It's not an easy thing to do, because I know how much you care for him. So it meant a lot to me that I am still alive, and you'll have to summon him again.
I'm just glad you're safe. We've got to get moving. There's God knows what's happening on the wall.
Something big is on the wall.
And I think Jack, you know, feels that loss of this constant presence of his familiar that's sort of just always there and now not, and is eager to find some time to summon him again.
Doran is a bit embarrassed and a bit sheepish that he got hit down, and he says,
let me make it up to you, and I'll take down some of our foes in this next battle. Come on! With the hammer of Moradin!
Don't be reckless now!
And Red is going to scale up Lifferless, and we'll all head to the wall.
Okay, you guys take off through the fields. As you make your way through the fields, the sounds of battle get closer and closer. A cloud moves away from the moon and illuminates the scene before you. Two massive figures stand at the base of Goldenfield's impressive wall. Each stands at least 15 feet tall, its body naked to the waist and strapped and hung with huge bags. One bends and breaks off a chunk of stone from the damaged wall and hurls it at a group of soldiers who are firing arrows at it from its left flank, concealed in a cluster of blackberry shrubs. All four of the guards are completely mowed down as the boulder crushes their hiding spot with a gruesome crunch, a single scream piercing the air. The giants look around stupidly for a moment before they spot you, their next targets.
I say we got a tall order to fill with killing these bad boys, but don't worry. Red's gonna bingo bango them back to the new millennium, which is technically the year 1000. Make sure to like and review us on Podchaser, and also give me a high five. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.